fill one of them out and stick it in that little container in the back there, that little plastic container, and just let us know you were here. And we would like to just greet you and say thanks for coming. Several things I want to do today before I get into my lesson. First of all, I was trying to think about a joke. I was going to start looking around up here, and you say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my lung that I coughed up last week. I'm so sorry that, man, that was horrible. I tried to watch that on, whew, that was bad. So hopefully I won't repeat that today. And I've got a cough drop. I've been drinking, so, and I still have a little cough, so hopefully I don't do that for you today. Megan, you're my hero. I hear you killed a mouse today. Did you kill a mouse? Oh, my gosh. And our kid.
I took him out into the field. He is not dead.
She got a mouse. It was in the kitchen. And she, give her a big hand. I'm excited. Go, Megan. She didn't kill it, but I would have killed it. I'm sorry. Only good mouse, the dead mouse. Sorry. Anyway, a couple other things. First of all, I told you last week about encourage you to start reading the Word of God, and on the back table, and I also have in my possession these what I would call an Advent reading, and I didn't come up with it; somebody else did. But it's the next 24 days, and there's a little. It's not a lot, but I would encourage you to take the paper version, and if you want to text me this week, I'll send you where it is online. You can go online. If you can't always take paper with you, I understand that. But I'll be glad to get you the online version of it too. I would encourage you strongly to do that, and just to because honestly, for a lot of us, Christmas just stinks. These next 21 days are just like I want to get through it. I just want to get to the other side. I just want to be done, and we want to overcome that because Christmas is an incredible time, especially for the Christian. It's a time that we should look forward to. It's a time that we should cherish. And if you're one of those people that don't like Christmas or you don't like all the trappings, then maybe you need to look at what you do and how you do it and hone some of those practices down. So I'm going to challenge you today and the next couple of weeks to kind of do that, to kind of make Christmas special again. And so I want to encourage you to do that. So take one of those and just to remind you as a way of reminding. Some other church business I want you to know is Janie Steffi. We mentioned the last 2 weeks that Janie was struggling, and we believe that there's a good possibility that she has spine cancer and some other parts, and that is not a good thing. And but we know God, and so we're gonna trust God, and we're gonna pray for the most and the best, and ask Him to intervene, and continue to ask Him to intervene. I think they're going to try to maybe do some bone marrow things tomorrow, maybe. She's still in the hospital, but it is very, very serious. So pray for her, pray for Doc. Doc closed his business downtown, which was downtown, kind of downtown, and the other day, and so he's going to be working out of his house and making house calls and things like that. So he right now is just trying to stay there for Janie and be there with Janie, and we'll see what God does in that regards. Also, one of our really special folks that here, Rick and Amy Zier, their dad succumbed to death today, this morning, and he was 95, very healthy until just recently, and had really struggled. And so they're there comforting them today, and working with the family, and we'll get you some details about all that as that comes up. So please be praying for them. A lot of things going on in the life or death kind of category this week. So I want you to continue to be aware of those and keep praying for those things too. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. And what a day it is, because we can come together, and as Bob said, we not only remember you, but we get right with you. We get right, and we come here to ask you to remake us and remold us, because God, we get so out of shape during the week. We see things, we do things, we think things, we're part of things that just aren't of you, and we come to let you wash those things away. And so, God, we ask that would happen this morning. I pray for the word that I'm going to bring today, God. I pray that you'll help me to to say it in the way that you want me to say it, and shut my mouth where I need to shut my mouth. I pray that we will understand it and get what you want us to know about this season, about Christmas, and what you want for us in this regards. We love you and praise your name. Amen. So I would call this our Christmas series, and so think about this. I've been here for 21 years, going on 22 in January, and so that means I've had 88 Christmas sermons to prepare. And think about, a story, a specific story that most of you are all familiar with. You have to be living under a rock not to be familiar with it. So to think about 88 different ways to approach it, there's some different things to how do you make that seem fresh? How do you come out and say, here's some things to do? So I've been kind of really struggling. I always struggle with Christmas, I'll just be honest with you, because I want to ask God to do a work in you as you listen to the message each week, but also know that you've heard the story so many times. And so I pray that today it will be maybe a little different for you. The next several weeks, we're going to talk about the songs of Christmas. And I said in my text yesterday, no, not Grandma Gets Run Over by a Reindeer, or not Mariah Carey, or any of those things, where although you know Mariah Carey, and you hear that ad nauseum already. But we're not talking about those songs. Some of you like Christmas music, some of you don't. Some of you probably, again, don't like that because just for that, you know, everywhere you go, you hear the same songs on Muzak, and so it kind of drives you crazy. So our first song, Dave and the band, thankfully, played that song for us tonight. It's O Holy Night. I want to play it for you, another different version, to start out our lesson today. So Mindy's going to play that, and then we're going to talk about that song just a little bit. And then we're going to look in the Book of Lamentations to kind of get a take on it.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Do, 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 do. How silently, the wondrous gift is. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Do, 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 do. Oh, oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord.
beautiful song, but the wrong one. There's a clip I sent Charlie, the wrong song. And I was just getting ready to do it. It's not Charlie, it's not Mindy, it was me. It is a simple click. I had all the songs all lined up, and I just hit the wrong one, and I didn't look at it. So you got a taste of a couple coming weeks. So forget that. But it was a beautiful song, right?
Yes.
And only Jeff could do that. So anyway, our song is "O Holy Night," not "Little Town of Bethlehem." I didn't want to stop it because it's a beautiful song. So you listen to it. There's nothing wrong with an extra Christmas song or two in our queue. And it was not Charlie's fault. Okay. It's me. The song "O Holy Night" that we didn't play just then was a song that was made in the mid-1800s. And I love the story about it. I always love back songs, stories on songs that came into the church. A lot of those songs that we used to sing in church, hymns, came from what we would call bar tunes. You would go into a bar and people would remake the songs into a church song. And this song has a very interesting backstory. What's interesting is there was this parish priest in the Catholic Church who asked a guy in his town, actually he was a French merchant and a poet. Back then you had to have a couple jobs just like today. And his job was to be a merchant person on a boat. But he also was a very good poet. And his name was Placide Capinot, I probably screwed that up. But he asked Placide, he said, "Would you write a poem to Luke chapter 2? And I would like to have it read in our church." The interesting thing that Placide was he wasn't a Christian. And he was also kind of known as a hellraiser. So he was very far from God. He didn't go to church ever, but he was a great poet. So he wrote this poem, and he loved it so much that he asked his friend, who was also a musician, to put it to music. And this song became so popular that it ran through the Catholic Church like wildfire, and everybody loved it, and they sang it all the time. And it became just a really go-to hymn in which they would read all the time. All of a sudden, they found out who Placide was, and they tried to put the brakes on it because they're like, this guy is a crumb, and everybody knows it. He wrote this song? And so they tried and tried. By that time, though, the song had gone so far and so wide that they didn't care, and they went right on, and the song became very popular, as it is today, with so many people. And you know the song, not "O Little Town of Bethlehem," but "O Holy Night." And it's a very poignant reminder to us. Now, I want you to listen to me. It's a poignant reminder that God can use horrible people to do his work. He can use horrible people. And think about the climate that we're living in right now. And there's so many of us that look around and we see people, and there's ungodly people running our country, running different things around us. And we look at them and we say, how is God going to do that? God can do whatever God wants to do with people that are broken and a mess, just like he can with you and I. And I think that's a really good reminder to start off this holiday season, this season that we call Christmas, is to remember that God takes things that are broken and he makes beautiful things out of them. And he sent his son to be sure of that. You can only imagine, back to beginning what we're going to talk about tonight, because I'm starting at the end this day, and you say, why are you doing that? I'm starting with the very story of the manger that we find in Luke 2. Most people do that on Christmas Day. I want to do it 4 weeks before, and here's the reason. I think that we get Christmas, many of us, we take it for granted, and we take it as a time to get to have the office party and to have this party and this thing we got to do, and I got to buy a present for this person and this person and this person, and I'm going to get a bonus. Maybe I'm going to not get a bonus. I'm going to go to, you know, we have 2 or 3 Christmases. I was just thinking about this the other day. We have like 3 or 4 right in a row that we have. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. And we get that attitude that you know, Christmas is kind of a bother. And I want to come against that today in Jesus' name, because I think Jesus wants you to take this season as a chance to shine his light everywhere you are. And it's the one time you can walk into any gas station, you can walk into most any place where they have music, and there's Christian songs on there. And it's like, we need to take advantage of that, church. We need to take advantage and shine the light of Jesus in this time. And so that's why I'm starting out with it, doing a little backwards, kind of a Jeff thing, so we'll see what happens. So I want you to think back about that night, the nights talked about in Luke 2. It was a night to be what we call the holy night. And it unfolds, there was this teenage girl who was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which that's a whole nother sermon. And she and her unlikely teenage fiance travel on the back of a donkey. And I tell my granddaughters and my grandsons as I read this song, what the donkey always says. What did the donkey say? Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, all the way to Bethlehem. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. And I want you to imagine what it would be like to be married, to be on the back of that donkey, and to be traveling to a place that she didn't know whether they were going to get a hotel or not, didn't know what they were going to be. She's just going to go because that's what she was supposed to do. They come into a town where there's no place to stay. There's no inn, and so they go into the most unlikely place for the king of the world to be born into. They go into a cave, or we would call a manger. It's where the animals would go, and they would shelter there out of the weather. And so she's giving birth in probably the most weird, different environment that you can possibly think of. I've been present for all four of my daughters, or my kids' births into each one of the world. And each one of those births, I can't tell you how special each one was to see them born. And just that very act makes you believe in who God is, that God is something special. And so to witness childbirth is a miracle. And it's a miracle that it even happens. And how it happens, just it flabbergasts me every time that a baby is born. And so as we get back to the holy night in this middle of this place where it's unlikely for a birth of the king to be born, there's chaos, there's some screaming, there's some puffings, there's some panic. It's going on inside this little cave, and the Bible tells us that night that Mary had the Son of God born in that cave. So this song, O Holy Night, takes on a whole different meaning because it's a phrase that I want to focus in on. The very first phrase in the song is this, and is a thrill of hope in a weary world rejoices. Let me say that again. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And then it says, for yonder breaks a new and a glorious morn. And I want to hone in on that today because I think that the world that we're living in is a weary world. I think many people in this world are weary. And I think some of you today, you walked in here, you are weary. You are weary of all the stuff that's going on in your life. You're weary of the work that you do. You're weary of some of the relationships you have. You're weary of some of the things that are going on in your day-to-day, every day. And it is a bit of a weary world that we're living in, and we have the phrase that most of us say this on a daily basis, and the word is, I'm tired. Hey, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm worn to a frizzle. I don't have much left. I mean, it's overwhelming because there's so much anxiety in this world. There's so much fear. There is so much calamity and relationships that are at odds. You see families that don't talk to each other. You see families that hate each other. You see families that don't get along. This past week of Thanksgiving, it only brings to light how bad some of our relationships are. We don't even get together, some of us, with people that we love or supposed to love, supposed to care about. And every person that we know, we all know somebody who's sick, somebody who's dying, somebody who just died. And there's a lot of hurt and pain around us. And we are enveloped in this world of and we're just weary of that. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the weariness of this world. And that's one of the purposes I come today to share with you and to encourage you and to uplift you and to say, there's a new and glorious morning coming with God. There's a new and a glorious morning coming. And so there's a thrill of hope, it says. There's a thrill of hope. And I can't imagine what those people in that cave were thinking that night, because to be told that you're carrying the Son of God, and here the Son of God comes out, and your people and you for years and years have been in bondage to the Romans, and every day your life is in peril, and you're here paying taxes you shouldn't really even be paying. You're here being counted like a sheep, and you're sitting there and going, and I'm weary. But there's a thrill of hope that's that boy, that man that's going to be coming out of that, or that baby that comes out of that lady is going to come, and he's going to be our Savior. And that's what I want you to hone in on today. There's a coming thrill because he's here. He's here. And because he's here, we can have the thrill of hope for tomorrow, no matter how bad today is. Because even in the chaos of the night, there is a new and there's a glorious morning coming. I want you to hold on to that this morning. I want you to think about what happens the next day when the sun comes up and the Savior has been born and the new and this glorious morning is here and everything is different, because a day with Christ can change everything. A day with Jesus changes everything. And it's important that you understand and you start living as if you're one of those changed beings too. So let's focus on this new and this glorious morning. What I want to do is I want to take you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Lamentations. The context of Lamentations is this. In the year 586 BC, Jerusalem fell, and the priest and the people were a mess. And every area of their life, they were a mess. And the prophet Jeremiah, he's belly aching, he's lamenting, he's whining, he's very upset, he's hurting, and everybody else has been hurting. And what he does in Lamentations is he laments and he pours out his heart. He pours out his heart in a very time of hurt and pain. And some of you need to do that today too. You need to start lamenting a little bit. But there's a new and there's a glorious day coming. So I want to look at the book of Lamentations as we talk about the birth of Christ and what all that meant. Because back then, there was no hope of this Jesus. It was just, there's coming someday, but where is he? And what's going to happen? And you live in the day where he's here. He's been here and he's gone and he's coming back. And there's the difference between us and him is we know he's here, we know he's been here, and we know he's coming back. But what difference does that make as you live this next 20-some days, what we call this Advent season? Let's read Lamentations. I want to read it all, and then we'll break it down. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion, or one version says, his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Such a power-packed verse to talk about on this first week that we talk about the Christmas story and the Christmas and what it means to and what Christmas time means to us. It says, my soul is downcast within me. Any of you, is your soul downcast? When you get to the point where your soul is downcast, that's pretty bad. You know, you can say I'm having a bad day, having a bad week, a bad month, but your soul is downcast. That's pretty deep. He is in a despair. He's in a pit. And then verse 21 says, but yet I call to mind, what do I have? I have hope. And today I come to you, church, to bring you that same hope. I love this. He says, I think I'm going to call this to mind. I will have hope. I will have hope. I will have hope when no one else does. Because why? Verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, but his compassion or his mercies never fail. He is always there. Even though it seems like it's failing, he is not failing. Who here needs that today? Who watching online needs that today? Because of the Lord's great love, his compassion will never fail us. Verse 23, then he says, because they're new every morning. Every morning when you get up, they're going to be, there's something new for you. And I love that, because you can go to bed so down and so downtrodden and so in despair. And every morning you can get up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I will not stay in my despair. I will not stay in the darkness. I will not stay in this mood of downtroddenness. And then we look at verse 24. I remind myself and I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. That's a funny one. And then he says, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord's my portion, therefore I will wait for him. What is that portion deal? The Lord is good to all those who hope in him, the Bible says, but what is that portion? I believe that portion is something that is a reference back to the Israelites when they were on their journey, and they every day they would come out, and they would their manna would come out of the sky, and they would gather the manna. This is my portion. God is giving us what we need. There is nothing else. He will take care of my needs. He will take care of everything that's going on. And even when they tried to take more, some of them would try to keep enough for the next day. It would spoil. It would spoil. God wants to have a daily relationship with you. That's where I'm going with this, church. Not just on Sunday. God wants to have a daily relationship with you every day. He wants to sit down with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to talk with him, to trust him, even though your life is in the pits. He wants to speak with you. It's amazing what a new day with Christ can bring. A new day with Christ brings a whole different attitude. It brings a whole different perspective for us if we allow it. Otherwise, we stay in it and we walk through that next day like a sourpuss. We walk through that next day all dejected and down and so downtrodden and so in despair. And everybody looks at us and goes, wow, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like them. I was at my aunt's funeral yesterday. I told you about my aunt dying. And one of the things my cousin said as he was preaching the majority of the funeral was he was talking about Aunt Blanche and how everyone around her, that she seemed to always bring people up. And that made me, it really made me stop and say, do I do that? Am I that person that tries to make people, to bring them up? Because I know that people, when they come around, they're kind of down. Or am I the kind of person that just goes, let me tell you about my stuff. Let me tell you how bad I'm feeling. Let me show you how bad life is with me. Or do you bring people up? And I think that has to be our lot in life, is that a new day with God, every new day brings a possibility for you to show the light of Christ to somebody who is in a dark, dark spot. That's what I want to challenge you with these next 21 days, to bring some light into somebody's life every day. God, who do you want me? Who do you want me to shine your light onto? Not your light, because your light goes out really quick. Your light gets tired. Your light gets jealous. Your light gets so messed up because you're this person who only has so much to give. And when somebody hurts you, you don't want to do anything. And in essence, God's saying, no, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep pushing. I want you to keep loving. I want you to keep shining the light. So today I want to send you home with three truths that I want to send you that I think that'll help you these next 21 days as you go through Christmas and beyond. The first one is this: a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. A new day with Christ tomorrow brings exactly what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. Now, Lamentations 3:24 says this: I say to myself, you know, what's his name, the guy, it's a wonderful world, you know? No, that's not. I say to myself, and when I'm talking to myself, I have to talk to myself. And you all have an inner dialogue. You all have inner things that you say to yourself. You talk to yourself all the time, whether you talk out loud or it's just in your head. And you say things, and a lot of things you say aren't proper. And you got to be very careful that your lot is to preach to yourself the good things of who Christ is every day. I say to myself, I remind myself that of the truth of who God is, and that He's going to go through this with me on this storm, that He's going to be there. It's going to be horrible, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be harsh, but He's going to be with me. Sometimes you got to be the best preacher in your life to you. Because if you're not preaching to yourself, you know what you're doing? You're preaching a message that's just got you involved in it. I mean, if it's just the life of you, that pretty much stinks. Because the life of you by itself without Christ is nothing. It's nothing. So I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will do what? I will wait for Him. That's the hardest thing about being a Christian, is waiting for God. Isn't that right? Go to the hospital once when you're waiting on a loved one to come out of surgery. Go to a place where somebody is having a really hard surgery and sit there and wait. Waiting is exhausting. And all you're doing is sitting there just talking and sitting on your butt. And it is a hard place to be. Waiting is one of the worst places to be, but it's also one of the best places to do, because while I'm waiting, I'm remembering that a new day with Christ brings exactly what I need. The Lord is my portion. See, He gives me the manna that I need for today. But that's not enough. It doesn't matter. He gives you what you need today for today. That every day when we wake, God, give me exactly the food you want me to have today. Give me the relationships you want me to have. Give me exactly the context of having these interactions with people. I want you to be in every one of them. What a wonderful way to wake up and say that, instead of, man, I don't want to do today. Man, another day of this. Ooh, we have to change our perspective. And here's what I want you to understand about tomorrow. When I say God is in tomorrow, when I say God is in tomorrow, or God's going to be in, he's got something new for you, He's already there. He's already in tomorrow. And He has everything you need for tomorrow. And whatever it brings, He's already absolutely in it. He's already absolutely thought it through. He knows exactly what needs to happen. And it is your job to get in line with that. It is your job to get in line with what happens tomorrow. If your marriage is struggling, I hope that you will understand God is in tomorrow waiting for you. If you're weak today, God is already in tomorrow, and His strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you are here today and you're saying, I don't want to go through another day, God is in tomorrow already fixing it up, because a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need, and that is the presence of God. You don't need anything else. You do not need a new car. You do not need a new job. You do not need a new wife or a new husband. You need the presence of God, because where the presence of God is, everything else Everything else is taken care of because he has thought it all through. He has thought your tomorrow through. He has thought the next day through. See, we get so caught up in tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? And we have to have that faith. That's what Christmas is. Another part of Christmas is faith in knowing that he's going to take care of tomorrow. He's taking care of today. And he's got you through yesterday. And he's going to get you through tomorrow. That's why it's so important, church, to come and speak to yourself and preach to yourself. I say to the Lord that he's my portion. I got to remind myself that you're all I need. You're all I need. Therefore, I'll wait for him. Therefore, I'll wait for him. Therefore, I'll wait for him. Some of you are waiting, and some of you know what you're doing. You're going and you're making things happen. And you know what happens when you make things happen? They fall apart. Anybody ever done that before? Like your head like this. You ever made something happen and going, oh yeah, this is what I asked him and he didn't give it to me, so I'll just go get something. I'll go find any old doodle-doo or any old miss or any old, you know, whatever it is, and I'll take care of it myself. And that's where we get in trouble. That's where we get in trouble, church. A new day, number two. A new day with Christ brings us hope to keep going. It brings us hope to keep going. See, as Christmas is approaching, it's the thrill of hope in this weary world. It's a thrill of hope and faith where sometimes all we see is darkness. God wants you to see him. He wants you to see who he is and that he has hope for you. Verse 25, I think, says this. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And then it's such a profound thought when he says that the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Who is your hope in? That's what I want to ask you today because it's important. If your hope is in your husband, he's going to let you down. If your hope is in your wife, she's going to let you down. If your hope is in your bank account, it's going to let you down. If your hope is in your health, it's going to let you down. Whatever your hope is in, if it's not in God, it will perish. It will falter. It will fall. And it will allow you to fall flat on your face. If you're struggling to find places to put your hope, don't put it in the wrong place. That's what I want to say to you, I think, today. Put your hope in him. Hebrews 10:23, I love this verse, says this, let us hold unswervingly. I talked about this last week, about holding on to, about gripping, about getting a hold of. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We have to hold on to it like it's all we got. His hope is all you hold on to, because that is all you have ultimately. His hope, the hope that he brings, grip onto it. Don't let go. Because there is a weary world. But in weariness, there's a thrill of hope, the song says. There's a thrill of hope that's coming. There's a new day coming. And I'm telling you, a new day in Christ can change everything. It can change everything. And then lastly, we're just about done. The help you're seeking. A new day will give you the help that you're seeking. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait. What? Sometimes you just have to wait quietly for what? You have to wait for him. You're going to ask the question because you're a human being. You're going to have to ask the question, where is he? What's he doing? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he bringing my husband to the Lord? Why isn't he bringing my wife to the Lord? Why isn't he healing this person? Why isn't he doing that? You have to wait on the Lord. For what? For salvation. For him to bring you through whatever it is you're going through. There's several kinds of salvation. It's not just the heart kind. It's a salvation of whatever it is you need to be saved from. Sometimes it's from yourself. Many times it's from yourself because You're not preaching to yourself. You're not saying to yourself. And so you need to be safe from yourself. I'm going to wait until he helps me understand. I've got to wait for his salvation. Time and time again in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we see God coming through. There was a guy named Lazarus in the New Testament who had a real bad problem. He was dead. He was dead. And the King James Version said he was so dead, he stinketh. He stinketh. And when the King James Version says you stinketh, that means you're dead. He had a problem. And Jesus showed up, and he wasn't dead no more. There was a man in the Bible that was 30, for 38 years, he couldn't walk. And he met Jesus at a place where Jesus came along and said, rise up and walk. And after 38 years of being in a position he was at, he was able to walk. He would tell you the amazing difference that one day with Christ will make. And there is people in this room today that can tell you the same thing. That God has saved you, that has saved your marriage, that he's saved your kids, that many, many times he's done healing in your life. You may not have seen it, but he's done it in your life. Jesus has been incredible because one day with Jesus can make an incredible difference. That's why we have to wait until tomorrow, because his mercy is new tomorrow. It's a different thing tomorrow, because tomorrow he may have a different plan for us, different than what we think or will. I'm telling you, there's a thrill of hope that will make the weary world rejoice. And that's our job, is to hold it out there so that the weary world will rejoice. We don't hold out the plan of salvation every day to people and say, you need to be saved and you need to be baptized. We don't do that. That doesn't do anybody any good. But to hold out the thrill that there's hope tomorrow, that you don't have to be weary anymore, because I'm not weary anymore. I'm trusting God. My hope is in him. My hope is in tomorrow, because there's new mercies tomorrow. That makes a difference in people's lives. Because Jesus was born, you and I have hope in the middle of the night. Whatever it is you're walking through right now. A job that you hate. A relationship that you just don't see it going anywhere. Kids that are really hard to manage. A family thing that's going on and you're going, how is this ever going to get any better? God is in today, and he's in tomorrow, and he's in the next day. The night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. The sun's going to rise again tomorrow, and you're near to your salvation today than you were yesterday. Because the song says, for yonder breaks a new what? A new and a glorious morning. Let's pray. Father, I know that there's some people that are freaking out right now because of things that are going on in their life. I know that they're feeling out of control. I know that they're feeling frantic, fearful. I know that there's so many things going on with so many of our folks here today. And I just pray that you would help us to get a hold of this very thought. This thought that because of what your son walked into this world in that manger and came out, because you allowed him to come, Father God, we have a hope for tomorrow. And we're so thankful that you're in tomorrow. We're so thankful that you want to give us salvation. You want to save us. And so, God, we trust you, and we just ask you to move in our lives this very day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read the words of O Holy Night to you as the lights go out and the band is getting ready to play. It's our time of ministry here, and what we ask you to do is just to reflect with you and God. What is it that God is wanting to tell you today? What is it that God is wanting to do in your life? Are you here today and you're a little fearful? Are you here today and you're frantic? Are you here today and you're dissatisfied? God wants to meet you wherever it was that you pulled into this place with today. And he wants to do something in your life. Not just today, every day, because his mercies are new every day. So I want to read the words of O Holy Night one more time, and then the band's going to pray for you. Listen to them. And then you and Jesus work it out right where you're sitting. Or if you need to come down front and you want to lay it at the feet of the cross, you're welcome to do that too. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, a holy night. Oh, night divine. Oh, holy night. Thank you, Lord, for that night.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our Savior's birth. Long may the world in sin and till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Fall on your knees.
Oh, the angels' voices. Oh,
the angels.
word. All night, divine. All night, all night.
Song, and it's the right song. Nice that it wasn't Town of Bethlehem. Oh gosh. Okay, so today we want to remind you that God wants to change your Christmas this year. He wants to make it different than it was last year. He wants to make it better, fuller, richer. He wants to make it a time when it's not just about you, it's a time for others. It's a time that you start to look outside of yourself and say, God, what do you want me to do? And he wants you to shine his light to a weary, weary world. He doesn't want you to go around living weary every day. It's all right to have a weary day once in a while, but it's not every day. And our lot as Jesus followers is to go out there and to hold the light up. And the only way you're going to do that is by the presence of God is in your life. If you don't have the presence, it'll snuff right out. It'll just go right away. You can go out and try to be nice, and you can try to go out and be kind, and the first thing that happens, you can find yourself in a place where you don't want to be. It has to be the presence of God in you, shining out of you, and God does what only he does in that instance. Thank you so much for coming today. I want you to listen to Abby real quickly. I think she has some things for us, and then go. Oh, don't forget the reading thing too. On the back tables or me. Thanks.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. If you have a child that attends ICC, please make sure you have them come to their worship service before their classes start so they can practice for the Christmas program. If you're in the 55 and plus group on December 13th from 5 to 9, you're going to be going to the Columbus Country Christmas, so make sure you get signed up. It's $5 for the light tour and any money you want to bring for supper. Before you leave today, please make sure you stop at our Angel Tree table to take a tag and to purchase a gift for a family here in Franklin that needs a little extra help this Christmas. You'll buy the gift and return it to the church. Today is the last day you can sign up to get any ICC merch that all the proceeds go to the youth group, so please go see Tiffany or one of the teens at the table. Tonight we do not have youth group, but we have youth group starting at 4:30 next week to do our Christmas party. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week.